Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Proverbs? We're going to read the last five verses in Proverbs. And the title, I titled this morning, Biblical and Special Modern Day Moms. So we're going to start with reading these scriptures in Proverbs 31, verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I can't imagine what it is to be a mother, but I'll tell you what, I think it's a great privilege, and I think it's an honor that the Lord would be able to have a womb there and instill in a woman to be able to give birth and have children. And, you know, it seems like here in the scriptures, it seems like God's really praising the mother. And it also seems like there's a connection between a mother and a wife. And you know, we need to pray for those children that don't have a father, because I think it seems like there's a principle here that God has a real connection between a mother, a father, and children. But if not, I'll tell you what, God is concerned about every single individual. But it seems like the duties of mothers, it seems like it is a lot. I had two children, two girls raising in the home, and it seemed like Roxanne was always busy. She was always sewing. She was always cooking. She was always doing something. And she played 89.1. That's the Christian station in our area at that time. It sounds far away. I lived in New York, but I literally was only 1.5 miles from the border of Pennsylvania. And I was born and raised in Erie, Pennsylvania. So, but I lived in New York. And, you know, it seemed like she was always busy canning and doing something and schoolwork. And it just seemed like mothers are so busy, but it seems like it's their duty to raise their children, and I believe it's a Christian duty to raise them in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord, in the Word of God. Because, you know, when in this Old Testament, you find a lot of times God was saying, write the Word of God, write the commandments, you know, write them in your heart, write them on the tablets, write them, do something. In other words, raise your children so they know right from wrong. Raise them so they know between good and evil. And children are under mother's care a lot. Oftentimes, dads are gone. I know I was gone a lot, and I kind of feel kind of bad about that, but I had a mother, a wife, that stayed home. And she really loved the Lord, but she stayed home, and I had to work. So oftentimes, I was working a full-time job and working part-time away. So I worked quite a bit. Why am I saying this? The children oftentimes end up in the mother's care. And so I think it behooves us to say, moms, always be there for your kids in the scriptures. Always be there for them. And grandmothers and great-grandmothers. And even those that are single, I think, often think, you know, they could be a good role model. They can be a role model for those. Amen. Just stay in the scriptures. And it's a big responsibility. It's a big responsibility raising children, and it's not always easy. But that's why I believe here God is saying, wow, look at all she does, and yet her children rise up and call her blessed. How blessed it is to be a mother. How many mothers do we have this morning? Could you just raise your hand? And how many grandmothers? I know you're a mother and a grandmother, but wow, there's hands all over. So praise the Lord for all of you, and happy Mother's Day again, as Dennis said, but happy Mother's Day to you. In Judges, we find a very unusual thing. In Judges chapter 4, I think there's an amazing biblical mom that I find in chapter 4. Her name was Deborah. If you want to turn with me, you can. In Judges chapter 4, I'm just going to read two verses, but verse 4 and 5, but I think it's incredible. Because here was a mom. She was a princess. She was a prophetess. She was a mother. And God raised her up to do great things in Israel at the time. You know, As I look through 66 books here, as we hold in our hand the scriptures that we believe is authorized and, you know, ordained of God, and men, you know, moved and wrote the word of God, it seems like there's a biblical principle that God chooses out a man to do some of the great leadings. I mean, you've heard me say before, the Apostle Paul wrote more of the New Testament than any one man. And you find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But if a man doesn't rise up, and a man, in fact, the scripture says, pray that someone, a man will rise, you know, stand in the gap. But if not, there's always someone that God will bring forth. And so Deborah was a woman of God. She was a woman of God. And verse 4 says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of, help me out here. She was judging Israel at that time. Verse 5 said she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Is this not amazing? We got a woman here that she's a mom. She's a princess. She's a prophetess. And now she actually sits under the palm tree, and palm trees grow where it's warm. And she sits there for the children of Israel to come up to her for judgment. Wow. So ladies, it doesn't matter who you are. God needs you. He needs you. He wants you. And no matter what age you are, God will find you. He will seek you out. You can be used of the Lord. And you say, well, I can't be used that way. Don't miss the point. Deborah just yielded herself to God. She just yielded to the Lord. She says, God, whatever it is. And God needed her at that time. And God needs you. God needs you. And maybe she was assertive, but I don't believe she was aggressive. God needs you. And you know, no matter where you are needed. Whether it's just in your family, whether it's at your workplace, or whether it's in the body of Christ, or wherever it is. It just might be a neighbor, but God needs you. So you be available for God, and he will find you, and you will find him, and you can be grateful that you're a mom, that you're a lady, that you're a woman of God. I think it's wonderful. It's a great amen that God could seek someone out as Deborah and say, I am going to use you, and you're going to be needed. I'm very grateful, as I mentioned about my wife, Roxanne, I'm grateful to have had a Christian wife that was a mother. I'm grateful to have Jean as a mom now to my kids, and she's a good mom to my kids. I'm my mom, who is still alive, and she's a wonderful Christian lady. And Jean's mom, as you know, she comes here. She couldn't be here this morning, not feeling so well, but she is alive. I'll tell you what, if I'm doing as good as her at 96, I will be praising the Lord. I mean, come on. We're three and a half years out of being 100 years old. Wow. Jeff, if I'm 96 and doing that well, I'll be thankful. I will be thankful. But she's been a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother. Oh, my goodness. And I also have two daughters that are mothers, and they're all Christians, and all their children, which there's three, so we have three grandchildren, they are serving the Lord. So, you know, it's great to see generation to generation, but you know what? Don't be discouraged if your children aren't serving the Lord, because I'll tell you what, there was a time one of my children really strayed, and you know, it took prayer, and it just took a lot of godly intestinal fortitude just to stand in there, stand in the gap. So whether you're a father or your mother, Father's Day is coming. You won't be left out. But you know, God, we have to stand in the gap. Continue to pray. Continue to believe. Amen. Don't be discouraged, but you know, you'll be thankful for those that do serve the Lord. Praise God. So there are some biblical moms, and there's some biblical times. And in the New Testament, we also find some prophetesses that really served and loved the Lord. But who are the modern day moms? I don't have a name because I believe it's you. I believe you are the modern day moms. I don't want to give a modern day mom to someone and glorify someone here on earth. I believe that your mom, and you're sitting in church this morning, and you have an interest in the things of the Lord. You are our modern day mom. You are our biblical mom. Those moms that lived many hundreds and centuries and even millenniums ago are so important that God wanted us to know about them. But you know, here we are in 2016. You are important to God. This is Mother's Day. You're important to your relatives, to your neighbors, to your church body. You are important, and you are a modern day mom. We don't need any special names. You know who you are. You know who you are. Praise God, and I'm thankful for that, and we are all thankful for you. There was a woman in the New Testament. She was seemingly insignificant. She was seemingly unimportant. She didn't hold any worldly power. She was uneducated. She probably did not read well. And in that time and era when the New Testament was written, the girls was raised to become moms and look after children, and they were raised to really prepare for home. And the boys, they wanted them to know the law. They wanted them to be studious, and they wanted them to be outstanding in the community, and they wanted them to be men of the, you know, real men. So, you know, there was a difference, but girls were preparing to be motherhood and homes. And it seemed like this one woman, she didn't seem like she had any influence of her time. Seemed like she lived in a small, dusty, remote area. And sometimes I think perhaps it was boring. Today, there's so much that happens. There's so much. Some people say, what about you going to do when you retire? I have a brother-in-law that doesn't want to retire because he's not sure if what hobby he's going to do. I love him. I love him so much. But I can't wrap my head around being bored. I can't wrap my head around not being able to wonder, what are you going to do? I have so many things I want to do. Praise God. It's not going to bother me, to retire. I'm sure Dennis isn't bored. I don't think retirement in today's world can bring too much boredom. But anyway, back to my story about this young lady. She was being raised to be, in that day when, you know, they didn't have cars and they just had donkeys and they had to, you know, horses. But she was very, very important to the Lord. She was very important to the Lord, even though it seemed like she was insignificant. She wasn't, in the earthly sense, she wasn't sought after. She wasn't a movie star. She wasn't one that would be, really known. She was a nobody, almost, in the world's eyes. But God found favor with her, and she found favor with God. Why? Because she had a heart after God, and God was after her. He was looking for somebody, and her name was Mary. Mary wasn't anybody as far as earthly sense goes. She wasn't anyone. But you know what? It says that she took the scriptures and she pondered them in her heart. And she served God, and she was looking. She just loved the Lord. And she was a young virgin girl that God was after. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you feel like you're insignificant. It doesn't matter if you feel unimportant. It doesn't matter if you don't feel like you're really treasured or somebody. God treasures you. He looks after the heart. Mary was very important in the sight of the Lord, and he chose her. And not because she had a great name, but because she loved him. She loved the Lord. And, you know, I think that's she had a great calling on her life. She had a great calling on her life. And, you know, even as she grows, she continued to raise Jesus in the scriptures. She continued to let him go into the house of God. At 12 years old, she almost forgot him in the house of God. Why? She had the mind of God. She let her mind be in him. Praise God. You know, it's marvelous. It's marvelous to be a mother, and it's marvelous to be a mother that loves the Lord. So God bless you. If you love the Lord, God bless you. God loves you, and he sees you. He sees from the inside out. My goodness, you're a chosen vessel. You're a chosen mother. And if you're a surrogate mother or a mother-in-law or a mother to be or a mother, whatever, you know, God loves you. And you, let's just, you know, thank the Lord that he gives us that mothers, that intuition to be what they should be, to be where they should be, to be at the time that they should be. And even though God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus, you know, when it came down to it in the scriptures, when they came to her and said, "Mary, what should we do?" She said, "Don't ask me. You go ask him." She directed herself away. And so Mary had a great place, but don't pray to Mary. Pray to Jesus. Pray to her son. And even Mary said, "You look to him. You look to him." So, you know, God sees you and he loves you. He sees you and he loves you. There was an interesting little article I came across recently in a book called This Too Shall Pass. And there was a grandmother. She felt like she was insignificant. She felt like there was no place more, any more place for her. But one day she became a widow. And this mother wanted her life to count for God. Now here we have probably a grandmother and an older woman, and she became a widow. And I want to read this short paragraph to you this morning. It says, "Mother," so she's talking about her mom, "her mother wanted her life to count for God in a way that touched people. So she reached out to those whom she knew were hurting inside as much as she was. She started a fellowship group for widows. Together, they lunched together, they laughed together, and together they cried. One day, the widow said to another person, she said, 'What did we ever do before your mother became part of our congregation?'" You know, it doesn't matter what little part you have. Wow, you're needed and you're accepted and it's just precious to have every single woman, every single girl, every single grandmother in our midst this morning. And even though some can't be here, you know, like Dennis mentioned, Tom isn't feeling so well. I didn't know that. You know, we have Sandy. We have so many that can't be here. So, you know, our hearts and our minds go to others and go to those that can't be here. So, but mothers are special. So this is your day. This is your day. There was a very interesting article. I couldn't help but bring it this morning. It was from the Butler Eagle, and it says May 8th, moms, and it was there's a couple of some children in Penn Christian Academy that was asked the question, "What makes your mother special? What makes your mother special?" And there was so many. It was very good. I read them all, and I chose four of them, but they were so good. Here's second graders, little children, answering the question to their teacher, "What makes your mother special?" So I won't read their last name, but Morgan says, "My mommy is special. She has the best cake because it is warm, soft, and chewy. She gives me big hugs that makes me happy. She is funny because she has amazing jokes. My mommy takes me to awesome places. That's why she is everything to me." Isn't that so good? This other, another second grader, her name is Luca. She says, "My mom is special. She does not get to see me a lot because she works a lot. And that makes me sad. But I know she cares because she works a lot. she can help us to live. But when she is off, she plays baseball with me. I love my mom. Wow. Grace. She writes, my mom is special. She's so nice. She teaches me lots of new things. Now I know all about the world, but my mom cuddles me every night. I love her because she cares for me. It's so nice to have someone who is always there for me. I love my mom. The last one I'll read is Savannah. She writes, my mom is very special. My mom makes the best pasta that I want to eat right now. My awesome mom works so hard at Arby's so our family has money. My mom dances with me to our favorite song. She sings with me to songs we love. I'm very happy the Lord gave me a mom like mine. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege it is. Biblical and modern day moms, let me pray for you. Let's bow. Lord, I just thank you this morning for every young girl, every young lady, every lady that's not a mom, every grandmother, every grandmother. I thank you, Lord, for their life. And Lord, we just pray the blessing on them this morning, because we see that in Proverbs 31 that you bless them and you make them a wonderful blessing. And how blessed we are and how we are here today and living on earth because we all have a mother. We just ask you to bless every mom this morning with a special feeling of gratefulness that you have for them and they have for you. And God, we just thank you for them and just honor them in every way. And may this day be a special day to them. And may in every way, everyone know that they are special in the eyes of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.